The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back.
Hey, it's the top of the second hour of the National Intel Report, live for March 23rd, 2023, Thursday, March 23rd. I'm your Thursday host, Peter Serafine. Remember that free speech is not free. Please support free speech networks wherever you find them, and donate, buy their merchandise, do whatever you can do, because we got to keep free speech alive, because that's what keeps our country alive. Anyway, before I move on from education, before Dr. Van de Water, the last segment, I was talking about education, and I was talking about the scam that has become our education system. And the reason that was top of mind for me was an article that I didn't even get to. And that was Michigan's Grand Valley State University, which is holding several separate commencement ceremonies, dividing people by race and color and sexual preference. So if you're black, you get your own graduation ceremony. And if you're part of the LGBTQ community, you get your own graduation ceremony. If you're American Indian or indigenous, you get your own graduation ceremony. Wasn't there this whole civil rights movement thing where we eliminated segregation? You know, separate but equal. That was a thing in this country that... we grew past it. We actually dropped the separate and kept the equal. But now we're going back to segregation in graduation ceremonies, which is really funny because, like, was it 3-4 years ago when I wrote my first book, Progress? Really? I mentioned it in there because the idea of separate graduation ceremonies had already come up. So here it is 4 years later, and another college is doing it, and for some reason this time it's making big news. Just trying to point out how ahead of the curve I really am. No, just kidding. This is a problem. And if I don't want to go to the, well, it was the Democrats that supported slavery, and it was the Democrats that wanted segregation, and now it's the Democrats that are bringing segregation back. Although that's all true, it's a little beside the point, in my opinion. In my opinion, it's about education. We didn't teach these young wokesters the evils of segregation. Obviously we didn't. If we had taught them the evils of segregation, they wouldn't be doing it themselves on purpose. Right? Am I missing something? I'm confused by all of this. Anyway. So one of the... moving on, I guess, is where I'm going. We wanted... One of the more popular topics here on Republic Broadcasting Network is the monetary scam that we currently live in. Live under, live with, you know, the Federal Reserve, the fiat currency. Personally, I think the mortgages, the way they're manipulated and regulated, is part of the scam. Hence the 2008 housing crisis, like I mentioned with the good doctor in the last segment. You know, the government stepped in and said, you've got to be more equitable when you're giving out mortgages. And then, of course, there was complete collapse because we were giving mortgages to people that couldn't afford them. See, when banks are, well, left alone and they make decisions based on, you know, facts and risk factors and things like that, we didn't have a housing crisis. But when the federal government steps in and says, no, well, you got to do it this way, then we have a housing crisis. Coincidence? I think not. And you know, and then you got, you know, fractional reserve banking, which just a waste. I don't understand why anybody ever thought that was a good idea. But now the big push is digital currency, right? And there's a lot of you out there listening that are going to say, well, I'm never going to go to digital currency. They can control everything if I go to digital currency. Stop and think about it. How much of your cash do you actually see now? I mean, do you have your paycheck direct deposited into one of the big four banks and then use your debit card everywhere you go, whenever you need to spend money, and like automatically pay your bills through your banking app? I do a lot of those things. I rarely see cash. We're pretty close to a digital currency today. I mean, think about it. Digital currency, the whole idea, it's issued by the government, which is what our little paper Federal Reserve notes are. It has no physical backing, which is like our little paper Federal Reserve notes that we have now. Government control over it, well, that's what we have now. I mean, the government is constantly trying to control our money. That's the whole purpose of the Federal Reserve, as stated on their own website. It's crazy. Our currency that we use today, those little greenbacks, they're not really that different than what we already have. And then add in the fact that all these credit card companies and banks are willing to, you know, kiss the butt of government and give them whatever information they want without a warrant. Was it U.S. Bank is now creating a special code for when you spend money someplace that happens to sell firearms? Well, that doesn't take, you know, you don't have to be Karnak the Magnificent to see that coming, where that's going to go. Next, it's going to be special codes for firearms, and then special codes for types of firearms. And oh, by the way, somebody somewhere in government is going to be keeping track of all of that. You're going to end up on another list. Yeah, like I'm not already on lists. I wrote a book that says, so simple, even a politician can understand. And I happen to know that one of you lovely listeners out there bought multiple copies and mailed them to all the Washington, D.C. leadership. Pretty sure I'm already on a list. So what do we do about the whole monetary thing, right? So there's a lot of you out there who are, well, you got to become a sovereign citizen and stop paying income tax. Okay, so you stop paying income tax, but you're still paying corporate tax on everything that you buy. You know, there's layers and layers and layers of corporate income tax in everything. There's no way to completely decouple your money from our federal government, even if you stop paying income tax. Now we got the federal government, and there's going to be a crash of some type. I don't know if it's going to be another banking failure or multiple more banking failures. You know, we've got a couple of bank collapses recently. Or it could be another big housing crisis that causes bank problems. There's going to be another financial crisis that is going to be the impetus for our big brother friends of the federal government to try to institute the digital currency. And of course, once it's digital, once it's there, once it exists, they're going to put out all these wonderful benefits and incentives as to why you should go to the digital system. At first, it'll be, well, we'll give you 5% more if you go to the digital system. We'll give you a discount on your taxes. We'll do this. There'll be incentive that make it appealing to those not paying attention. And then eventually it'll be like, all right, your greenbacks are no good anymore. Once they've enticed enough people in, the majority of sheeple that go along with it, then they'll just turn off the greenbacks. And, oh, paper money's no good anymore. You got to use the digital system. And then, of course, with the digital system comes the tracking and the control. We all know that, right? With the digital systems comes the government not only knowing where you spend every penny, how you spend every penny, but comes the control of being able to turn it off or turn it on. What? You went to a, I don't know, you went to a Trump rally? Cut your money off. Oh, you gave to Greenpeace. We'll give you a little tweak, a little extra. Or, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to spend more than 10% of your income on food, or more than 15% on housing, or, oh, you're not allowed to buy a gun. This would all be done by a couple of keystrokes. Boom. Can't buy guns anymore through the digital currency. So how do we stop that? What do we do to completely stop it? I don't know. I do know. Buy coin. Like real coin. Like gold and silver coin. And it doesn't have to be the collectible ones. You can get the stamped rounds that aren't really like legal currency. They're just, an ounce of silver. Whatever. I have some, but I don't have enough. When the system collapses, it's what we're going to go back to. And the system will collapse. History has told us it's going to happen. It happens over and over again. The easiest comparison, of course, is ancient Rome. The denarius, I don't remember which one's singular and which one's plural. The denarius, started out being like 90% silver, like American coins used to be. But by the fall of the Roman Empire, there was barely any silver in them at all. Like American coins are now. There's no silver in a quarter anymore. It's worthless. Just like in Rome. The collapse is coming. So how do you prepare? You get your, you become a prepper, for one. You don't have to be a crazy over-the-top prepper, but you should have something. Have a little bit of backup food supply. Have your guns and ammo to protect yourself and your family. Hunt if need be. Get some coins that you can use for bartering. You know what else makes good bartering? Alcohol and tobacco. I don't even think it has to be good alcohol. You can go to the store and buy the cheapest vodka that's there. When the system collapses, nobody's going to care. But alcohol and tobacco, that's probably going to be the first tools of bartering when the system collapses, in my humble opinion. So the entire financial system we have today is a scam. And they've proven it to us. They can print whatever they want, whenever they want. But yet they still collect our taxes. Why do they need taxes if they can just print whatever they want, whenever they want? Like 80 or 90% of all the money that's ever been printed in or created in the United States has been created within the last couple of years. That is a recipe for complete and utter collapse. Get ready. It's coming. What about the, the medical healthcare scam. We had Dr. Van de Water on last hour, and we kind of touched on some of this. It's not healthcare anymore. Since government got involved, it's not about healthcare. Now it's pharma care. It's illness care. It's like standardized treatment at best. Very few doctors are out there trying to keep you healthy. The doctors that are out there that went through the modern education system, through the modern medical school, they're just writing pills, scripts. Your foot hurts? Here, take this. There's nothing wellness or healthcare about that. And this one kind of overlaps a little bit. This gets into the whole big government of, well, what about the sugar subsidies? Our federal government gives ridiculous amounts of money to the sugar industry. So sugar is pretty cheap. And because sugar is cheap, sugar is used in everything. I don't think there's a bit of processed food out there that doesn't have sugar in. Even things you look at and think, well, it shouldn't have sugar. It has got sugar. They use sugar as a preservative. They use sugar as, you know, as the seasoning to add sweetness. They use sugar for all kinds, for texture purposes, for browning purposes. So when you go to cook something, it browns up nice. It caramelizes. There's sugar in everything. And sugar without the refined sugar, refined white sugar that we have today, which is sugar without the corresponding fiber, bran or whatever it's called on the out, you know, your body has no use for it. It's to use the old-fashioned term, it's not only is it just empty calories, but it's triggering the addiction centers in your brain. So the more sugar you get, the more sugar you want. And there's sugar in everything. But your doctor doesn't talk about that, does he? Or she? Not unless you're diabetic. And then they say, you know, cut sugar out. But they don't go to the point. They don't bring up that there's sugar in all of the processed foods. Like even your steak and potato TV dinner is loaded with sugar. But Doc doesn't tell you that. Doc's not there for health care anymore. And our government, well, I mean, they come out. I mean, we all remember. If you're my age, if you grew up in the 80s, you remember the, you know, the Saturday morning cartoons where there was the, you know, the little, I can't remember what they were called, but the little kind of like Schoolhouse Rock commercials, little shorts, little cartoon shorts that played in between the commercials that had things like have a big old hunk of cheese instead of, you know, empty calories of potato chips. But then 10 years later, they're telling us, oh, cheese is bad. You know, dairy, oh, that's not good for you. Or the TV commercials for the incredible edible egg, right? I grew up believing that the egg was pretty close to the perfect food. And then they told me, oh, no, eggs are loaded with cholesterol and cholesterol will kill you. And then it became, well, the egg white is okay, but the egg yolk is bad. You can only eat the whites. And now we're kind of back to the eggs are all right. And this is all because our government's involved. Our government is making these recommendations. And they change them constantly, and nobody calls them on it. How about the food pyramid? The latest food pyramid is completely flipped on its head from what it was when I was growing up. It's like the South Park episode when they did that. You remember that? If you've never seen that South Park episode where they flipped the food pyramid upside down, That's some funny stuff. Because it came out like 5 or 10 years ago. And of course, now they actually did it. This is your government. This is the scam of these people that just want to keep their jobs. They just want to keep their power and their jobs. Of jobs of being involved in things that our federal government has no business being involved in. I was going to go on to the next one, but I think I'm going to take a quick breath and run one of these little ad thingies while
I'm proud to be partnering with Cedar Mill Fine Firearms. Cedar Mill Fine Firearms does some of the coolest firearms cases you'll find anywhere. Have you ever wanted to carry your AR-15 discreetly? How about a rifle case that looks like a guitar case until you open it up? Go to cedarmillfirearms.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE the next time you're looking for a cleaning kit or a case to carry your firearms. That's cedarmillfirearms.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE.
I needed that breath because I wanted to go into the environmental green energy scam. Now, I know I spent a lot of time on this couple of weeks or a couple months ago, I don't remember. But it's hitting the news again. It's probably going to keep hitting the news as long as President Biden is there and keeps trying to shove the Green New Deal into all everything. See, it's in the news right now because President Biden did his first veto, and his first veto was against a Republican-sponsored bill, but bipartisan support for this Republican-sponsored bill, that, it said the federal retirement managers shouldn't be using ESG, environmental, social, and governance, to figure out how to do retirement investments. See, to me, if they want to use that as one of the many factors, then okay, maybe they should be allowed to do that. I'm not big in government mandating one way or another, saying you can or can't do this thing. If the ESG of a company is one of the many factors involved in deciding whether or not to invest in that company, that's fine. But see, Biden recently put forth an executive order that required these managers, these fund managers, to use ESG in their investment prospectus. So the Republican legislation or the Republican bill that Biden just vetoed was a response to Biden's shoving ESG into retirement. Shouldn't be doing that. But it was a response. And of course, Biden vetoed it, and that brings all of this environmental stuff into the news again. We only have like a minute before the break. So Laura in Michigan on line one, please hold on until after the break, and we'll get to you. I promise. But the entire green energy movement, environmental catastrophe, fear porn artists, they've totally gone to the boy who cried wolf garbage. They've used fear for 50 years. And they haven't been right with a single prediction. Hopefully. Oh, hopefully they've continue to be wrong because here's Pat. 3 minute commercial break. Be back on the other side. We'll get to your phone calls.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Hey, welcome back. It's the final segment of tonight's episode of the National Intel Report. We got Laura in Michigan on line one. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Hi, Peter. I want to make.
How are you today?
I'm just going to comment on something you said earlier in the show. You said segregation was evil. Is that correct?
I did. The way it was done back then, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about now, Grand Valley State.
Oh, no.
People should have the freedom to segregate in whatever group they want to be in.
Right. I agree with that. If you want, you can associate, you know, freedom of association. If you choose to associate with, you know, people of your own skin color or whatever, it's fine.
Obviously, they asked to get separated.
I agree.
There's nothing evil about it. Of course,
the point is
integration is evil.
The point I was trying to make is, I bet the people that are asking for segregation didn't learn about the evil version of segregation back in the day. If, yes, we have the freedom to associate with whomever we wish, and if we choose to associate with our own kind, that's fine. We have that freedom. But at some point, that usually turns into factions, and factions turn into violence.
It goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel. I mean, look at, they all thought they were going to get together and build this tower, and God confounded their their language and separated them and sent them each to their own land.
Right.
That means he didn't mean for people to all be together.
But they sent them to their own land. We're all here in one land, in this country.
But their land.
I'm not saying that you've got to, you know, affiliate or group with somebody from another country, but you're in this country. The people at these universities that are doing these things, doing the separate graduation ceremonies and the other things, you know, the safe spaces, but only if you're a colored person. Like if you're white, you're not allowed into the safe space. All of these, they're sowing division. It's the whole keep us divided so that we don't unite against the government plan.
Even high schools had proms, you know, separated.
And
black and white proms, you know.
Uh-huh.
I just think we have a freedom to be able to separate if we want to.
But the black people of this country.
I wouldn't feel comfortable in a group of perverts. I mean, I'd rather be with white heterosexual Christians, you know?
I understand that. But the black people of this country, you know, went through the whole civil rights movement and the whole struggle to be considered equal, to be accepted into society. And now the woke mob is taking them backwards.
Now they're asking to be separate.
Yeah. Right. But that's my point, is they're asking to be separate because they don't know history, because they weren't taught, you know, about the struggle, the fight, what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, please. Yeah. Okay.
Wait,
yeah.
Minute. Ordering dinner?
I just had to talk to somebody else for a second. but I just think that we got to be careful about that. We'll end up with forced integration of people who we don't want to be with.
Shouldn't there be one graduation ceremony? If there's multiple graduation ceremony, who's to stop, you know, a potential employer from saying, oh, well, you didn't go to the main graduation ceremony. You went to this other one. Well, that doesn't really count.
I don't think they'd even know about that. As long as they have the paper, the diploma, that should be enough for any employer.
Oh, and so one graduation should be enough for any person. The whole point and why I brought it up was just the lack of education. The wokeness that is out there is going backwards in many ways, and that is just one glaring, obvious example where, you know, they're undoing what has been fought for. It's just like the feminist movement, which has gone completely silent about the transgendered women that are destroying women's sports and therefore destroying the entire feminist movement that created the women's sports.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Where are they? You know?
Yeah, that was my point.
Why are they not helping the girls out? And
I think there are more straight white men, i.e. dads, that are outraged about the transgendered women ruining women's sports than there are anybody else. I think dads are standing up and saying, you're not going to ruin this sport for my daughter.
Right. I know I had two granddaughters swimmers, you know. They wouldn't want to put up with that.
And they shouldn't have to.
No.
What was Leah Thomas, here in my lovely state of Pennsylvania? Leah Thomas was ranked like, 380 when he was a men's swimmer. I don't remember the number. Don't quote me on that. Nobody give me emails and saying I was wrong about the number. He was not highly ranked as a man swimmer, but then he became a transgender woman swimmer, and he broke like every record he swam against.
Right.
But anybody who stood up and spoke out against it, his, you know, his teammates that stood up and spoke out against it, they were ridiculed and shunned and shamed and all that kind of stuff. Nobody, you know, reality doesn't exist anymore.
I'd be embarrassed if I was his parents. He's swimming against women. I wouldn't, you know, I'd be embarrassed there.
I would agree.
I wouldn't let him do it. You know, I was outspoken all the time. Remember when those fat boys were wearing their pants halfway down their butt? When I saw it, I would say, pull up your pants and be a white man. Come on. And my husband would say, you're going to get me in trouble one of these days.
My pants are always falling.
Put him out of the house like that. He needs somebody to tell him.
Yeah. My pants are always falling now, too. But that's because I've become an old white man and my butt disappeared. There's nothing to hold them up anymore. Anyway, thank you very much for your call, Laura. I got to get to Patrick.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good night. Patrick in Texas, line 3, welcome to the show.
Yeah, this was all set up in stages, just like everything else they do. The Revolutionary War, that was they brought in Rothschild, brought in Hessian mercenaries. You know, in the 1812, you know, they burned all the archives, the fragments of our history. Civil War, you know, they brought in the termite fleet into Charleston to provoke some kind of response. It was so obvious. And the same thing, they built up to this integration here, where the Plessy versus Ferguson, where they deliberately set up where this half-black guy was put on a train, which is controlled by most railroads are by Rothschild, owned by Rothschild indirectly. And they got their Pinkertons, which is their own little private police force, to instigate a situation. They brought that up there. Plessy versus Ferguson, the Judge Ferguson said, equal but separate. You know, so he's trying to wash his hands of the deal. Yeah. And then that went into Brown versus the Board of Education. They just take it up in increments. And they finally got what they wanted. And then, you know, the Supreme Court, which was all stacked always, they ruled, you know, the Board, Brown versus the Board of Education, is that all the schools now, because it's unfair, you know, the whites are getting better education, and they forced integration in 1955, Eisenhower, the known affectionately in schools, the terrible Swiss Jew, and he killed 1.2 million people, starving them to death, wouldn't let them cross. Oh, he's charming. And so he brought in the 81st Airborne, you know, and fixed bayonets, and forced these children into the school. Now, whatever happened to states' rights, you know, the governor is one to try to stop that. They just ran right over everybody. Well, see, that's what happens whenever you get that under federal control. You know, they've exceeded the states now because it's under federal control. It's the Board of Education. You know, so, it's just one step after another. And that first caller, she was really, really hot. And there were some good people, like, you know, JFK, you know, says we have in our society, in the monolithic, vast resources that bring together, you know, vast, and they fight by guerrillas by night, not armies by day. He gave us the whole thing, but we didn't quite grasp how deep it was because we're being kept in the dark. And MacArthur, he actually puked trying to talk to this FDR. He was trying to kill off all the white soldiers and making them go through these one island after another. You know, he sure just went right around it, went right into Japan, what he wanted to do. He was a brilliant general. He went into Korea, done a beautiful job. You know, he was going to come back into America and clean out all the communists. And he had nobody in D.C. that would even talk to him. They're all completely controlled and bought. And there's a bit of you. You know, MacArthur, Patton finally got it. And JFK, of course. And they got Patton, they got JFK, and they just, you know, basically just stonewalled MacArthur. He was too powerful to take him out. But, you know, they control us with this Q and on and stuff like that, keep us distracted. You know, trust the plan. Don't do anything. We'll get out. The White House got it. Ha! You know, it was totally, you know, sooner or later, we got to, you know, our leaders have got to take, you know, set the direction and go back to the militia. The militia should be to the general population and the assemblies, the people. The governor has nothing to do. It's under the assembly. You know, and they took it with the Dick Act and put it under the National Guard and took it away from us. They had no right to do that. You know, but
Wasn't it Mason who defined the militia as basically every able-bodied person except for a few elected officials?
No, I think it was George Mason, maybe. Jefferson, he took, Alexander Hamilton made him start the First Annual Army and put him points on the head, and he threatened the South to come down and shut him up. And John Adams, so who are you, Napoleon? Jefferson, the next president, he mothballed the Navy, gave all the duties, the shore patrol, to the militia. And, he's pink slipping all over the place, you know. And, of course, he didn't get no credit for that, but that's a guy that tried to keep it straight. And they finally got rid of him. The historians say that was Jeffersonian democracy, and then they get Lincolnian democracy, you know, which was the biggest shift you could possibly, it's communism, you know, and they finally got their way. And sooner or later, I don't know, you know, that the voting don't work. We got to get back to our basics and get and understand the militia is us and who we are and all that stuff, because we can't trust them.
I completely agree. The militia is us, and anybody who calls what we have now Jeffersonian democracy has obviously no idea what Jefferson really wanted from our country. When you talk about the militia being us, though, the one thing that bothers me, and I was really bothered when there was the 3 months of riots, the summer of love, that in was that 2020, the summer of 2020. When public buildings, courthouses, police stations, all of these public buildings were being attacked.
Ferguson, Baltimore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where were the militias? They exist. I mean, here I live in Pennsylvania. The biggest one here is the Pennsylvania Lightfoot Militia.
They've been terrorized. You know, it's like, you know, when Oklahoma City, that's who they went after. That thing was to take out the militia. Now, Oklahoma's leading a 7-state organizations against the federal government. They're the ones that showed up at the Bundy Ranch. It was mostly Oklahoma militia. They were forced underground because they had the federal government came after them with this fake false flag with Timothy McVeigh.
Right. Well, any militia that even tries to organize and once they hit the radar, they're immediately painted as, you know, right wing crazy nut job terrorist organizations. It's almost impossible to have a militia today and get honor and respect from the people around you because of the media hyping it up to be something that it's not.
Right.
So how do we get past that? How do we get past that? So militias have this really bad image now. How do we get past that?
Karl Marx had it, as much as I detest the guy. He said, you know, a people that does not know their history is easily persuaded. And we've lost our history because they deliberately erased it with the Carnegie and Rockefeller education library system and the media. There's a total control. And all that together, you know, means we got zero heritage that we can back up on. But we have to relearn. We have a beautiful heritage behind us. You know, no matter how far you want to go back, we've always been a great, you know, society. You know, we're not, they try to paint us with all these bad things about, you know, we're a bunch of rich imperialist slave owners. No. You know, we were the ones that were, the English were, you know, were actually trying, were stopping slave ships. And Jefferson banned slavery. It would have died off.
Anybody who looks at slavery as a uniquely American evil clearly doesn't know history and should just open their eyes to the rest of the world. There are, 195 countries on the planet or something like that? Like 160 of them either allow or condone or just look the other way when it comes to
slavery. It's still going on. It absolutely is.
Yeah, it's still going on all over the place. So anybody who's out there saying that, you know, we need to pay reparations in the United States for the evils that we call, shut your mouth and go to one of these other countries and do something about it there.
I think Cassius Clay said it, you know, thank God, my folks got on the ship and come to America, you know, in a slave ship to America.
I'll see if I can find that audio. That would be great to have. Thank you very much for your call. But, okay, so, I don't know. Before we move on, don't forget, I launched Liberty Lighthouse Wellness. It's my own brand of supplements. Right now, there's only 5 products there. I'm probably going to get more, but my favorite of the 5 is the quercetin plus zinc. It's just what you need, what your body needs to fight the next virus that's going to come your way, whether it's actually an engineered virus or a naturally occurring one. Zinc is what you need, and quercetin is how you get it in your cells. So quercetin plus zinc, find it at liberty-lighthouse.com in the store. Misty in Kansas, line 1. Welcome to the show, Misty.
Well, hi, Peter for President.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, you were talking about the militia, and you're going about, you know, the way I see this country going is, first and foremost, there are so many illegals, to be quite honest, from every other country. You can't have a nation if you don't have a people. And I agree with you, we're going backwards, yeah. Right?
Is it Michael Savage that does the Borders, Language, and Culture? I think it's Michael Savage. He had a book, Borders, Language, and Culture. It's like those are the 3 things that you need to have a nation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, the way I'm looking at this is that what's happening here in America, we're going to end up tribing up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
I could see that.
That's not segregation. That is like-minded people, no matter what your color is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of what's going on now. You got hundreds of thousands. It's kind of already happening. We've got hundreds of thousands of people fleeing the completely woke leftist states and heading to the reddest state on the map.
Oh, yeah, but you know how sneaky them people are? Look, Oregon used to be a beautiful state. What happened? Huh? All the Californians moved up there, like Colorado. Colorado used to be heck, I lived there in the 80s. And, you know, they infiltrate. Anyway, what I'm going to say is I do believe what's going to happen is we are going to form our own tribes. And talking about the militia, the way I look at that, too, is that everybody goes, where's the militia? American people, we're just waiting for them to throw, you know, You got to be patient. I mean, I think it's going to have to come to our front doors as a community to be able to stand up together as one people, Americans, American nationals, and protect what we have. I believe that's the way they're steering this to go.
I think it did come to the front doors of a lot of people. And like I said, you know, the summer of love, the George Floyd riots, you know, 3 months of carnage all over the country. And we watched police stations and courthouses and federal courthouses being attacked. That's where I think the militia should have stepped in. You know, I'm not a big fan of militias out there, you know, just doing law enforcement or anything like that. But when you're attacking a federal courthouse, that's a problem.
Well, but what you're saying is exactly, you're saying it's read the, what is the second article? Goodness, I got the ninth in my head. The militia, I think people look at that like, all people aren't going to do that. People aren't, look at these people. I think how the militia is going to exist again is when that community, those people decide to go, uh-uh. Power in numbers. You see what I'm saying? Right now, yeah. People seem to want to go, okay, let's all get together. That's organized. It's a well-regulated militia.
Mm-hmm.
That's a totally two different words, organized and regulated.
No, I agree. I looked at, when I started becoming politically active, I looked at the Pennsylvania Lightfoot Militia here in my home state and thought about signing up, joining in, and to be quite honest, it was quite a commitment, both financially and time. And I just went, I can't give that much right now.
Oh, by the way, it was James Madison.
Was it Madison?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Peter, I'll let you get Masons and Madison.
I get my Mason and Madison quotes mixed up sometimes.
I know,
just
that's
because
right.
Of the beginning of M's.
I don't know.
But thank you very much.
Okay, Peter, talk to you soon.
Have a good night.
You too, hon. Bye.
I forgot where we were. Oh, we're talking about the militia because of just all the nonsense. And, you know, Misty's right. It is going to come down to tribalism. We're already there in, you know, in the news media. There's the left media and the right media. There's really is no middle ground media. We're getting there with the states. We've got people fleeing California and New York and heading to Texas and Florida. The whole, you know, the national divorce idea is kind of silly, but that's the direction that we're headed, is the tribalism that will probably destroy the country at some point. But the previous caller, Patrick, talking about the states, we gave up our rights as states. The federal government has taken over pretty much everything, and our state leadership just rolled over and allowed it to happen. So now, instead of the small, limited power federal government that was imagined and instituted, you know, the Jeffersonian democracy, as it's known, we have a totalitarian machine out of Washington, D.C. that controls everything and everybody and everything about us. They control our lives in ways that they really shouldn't. No government should, let alone Washington, D.C. Like Reagan said, you know, the distant, far-off capital thinks they can control our lives better than we can do it ourselves. And they tell us that all the time. Just yesterday, I believe it was, in a hearing about school choice, an elected, federally elected official saying that you and I, parents, well, we can't choose what schools our kids go to. We might make the wrong decision. But the people in the federal government, they would never do that. They'd never make the wrong decision and then just double down and pile on top and make it worse, would they? Well, that's how they do everything. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. If you're listening live on Republic Broadcasting Network, stay tuned for Edge of Darkness with Jeffrey Bennett. Thank you to Dr. Jen Vandewater for joining us this evening. Thank you, Mike, the producer. Couldn't do the show without you. Thank you, callers and listeners. You're why we do this. Until next week, protect your liberties. Once they're gone, there's no getting them back. God bless America. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back. Biden's budget proposal is out. I'm Peter Serafin with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Liberty Lighthouse Wellness, my brand new Made in America supplement line. Find them in the shop at liberty-lighthouse.com. President Biden's budget suggests increasing the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%, ensuring that, quote, large corporations pay their fair share, end quote. The administration estimates this would generate $1.326 trillion in revenue. Sure, increasing corporate tax might raise federal revenue. It also might cause corporations to fire employees to make up the difference. A 7% increase in corporate tax may also cause the cost of everything that you buy to go up by 7%. After all, an inconvenient truth is that only consumers pay taxes. Biden is also attempting to roll back part of the Trump tax cuts. And remember that promise? No tax increases for anyone earning less than $400,000. Well, we all knew it was a lie, but rolling back a cut is the same thing as an increase. Hopefully, the House of Representatives won't take the $6.8 trillion budget proposal seriously. Ah, crap. That means all of our hope lies in Kevin McCarthy's hands. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until next time, see this past Shem. Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.